We are in 1 Corinthians 13. We're starting the chapter. Last week I gave an introduction to it. Today we're going to get into the scriptures. This is absolutely, and I want to say again, happy Mother's Birthday, or birthday, Hather's Mother's Day. I'm getting it out of the, getting my bugs out before I hit the word here. This is a beautiful chapter, and it speaks of the superiority and the necessity of love in everything. Love is superior to all the gifts, all the spiritual gifts. And after we finish 13, 14, it goes into more of the gifts, so much there. To possess, and I think to share the gift of God's love in our lives is so much more than any of all the gifts combined. It's so much farther to have that gift of God's love. And we're going to see that the gifts are nothing without love. Without. The gifts are completely meaningless unless there is God's love behind it. So let's read as we start in chapter 13, verse 1. Paul speaks here. And if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have and it deliver my body up to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love, and I'll say this as we go into this, love is the most excellent way for a believer to use their gifts that God has given them. It's what this opens up, and I think this is happening in the church at Corinth at this time where there was tongues, and we talked a little bit about that, where people that had tongues thought they were superior to those, and if you didn't have them, you felt inferior. What does Paul say about this? If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. So it opens up, if I have tongues of men and angels. So what's he talking about? The tongues of men would be all the languages of the world. And I don't know how many different languages are there. There's a ton of them. Whatever language there is, God may gift you the ability to speak that language at a perfect time. And that would bring glory and honor to God if he did that. Now, I will refer you to Acts 2, 4 through 13, when the early church, when all of a sudden there was this speaking of tongues going on heavily. Now, so we understand the tongues of men are the languages of the world. Tongues of angels. It's a heavenly language or an utterance given by the Holy Spirit. Are we going to understand it? No, it's different. Now understand, the gifts of tongues, whether it be of the angels or men, can be given by the Holy Spirit. You cannot earn it, work for it, learn it, study it. No. But it can be given, but without love, it's just a noisy sound. Look at what it says. If you speak in tongues and you have the gift of all that, but have not love, it says, I'm a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. If we heard a noisy gong or clanging cymbal, it's annoying. It would be disruptive. You're like, nah, get that away from me. That's what Paul's referring to it here as. And we need to understand that. This is just noise. And without the love, there will be Nothing. It's absolutely nothing. And there are people who will do this just to make themselves feel superior. I've seen it happen. And they want to feel superior to others. I'm spiritually superior. That's not love. I guarantee you, that's not love. Without love, and I want you to understand, I'm talking about agape love and phileo love. We went over that last week. A person becomes useless in his own life and in the ministry of Christ. Whatever you gain by it is nothing, according to God. This next verse goes into something I think is probably four gifts that every one of us would love to have. Verse 2, he says, and if I have prophetic powers, number 1, understand all mysteries, number 2, and all knowledge, number 3, and if I have all faith, 4. Who would not want that gift, those four gifts? My gosh, every person would. What does Paul say, though? But have not love, I'm nothing. Think about that a minute. Think about that. You could have all that knowledge, all that wisdom, but without love, you have nothing. You can have great, great, great understanding. Tremendous knowledge. All of us would like that, right? An incredible faith that you could remove mountains. But if there's no love, again, Paul says, it's nothing. You're nothing. Now, when you look at this verse, I want you to understand that those four things are tremendous. They're tremendous. Every believer would love to have one of those gifts or multiple. But I want you to see something different here, what Paul is saying. You take those four gifts in the world, you're famous, you're renowned, you're everything. But if you don't have God's love, you're nothing. The difference between the world order and a believer. See, in the world, having knowledge, understanding, powers, faith, I can make my company work, I can do this. They're going to raise you up. The world will raise you up and acknowledge you. But God says, without love, nothing. Nothing. That's the difference between being of the world and being in Christ. Nothing. If anything, and I will say this and I continue to say it, if anything, pray for God's love to fill and overflow your heart and your life. That is your number one prayer request. God's love in your heart and in your life. Look at 1 John 4 for me, please. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. You want the definition of love? God. Think about this, and we're talking about unbelievable love that God has for us. I want, if he would remove a fraction of the garbage out of my heart and put in his love, how much that could just impact the world for him. I ask for it all the time. Now, there is a big temptation here. What if you possessed all those four things that is listed in this verse? Could that be a temptation for you? Do you think that you're superior in your spirituality to others? Mm-hmm. It possibly could. It possibly could. And I think that could be a big temptation for all of us. If we had that tremendous knowledge, that tremendous wisdom, that tremendous understanding, and that tremendous faith, that it could. So you need to double down on asking for God's love in your heart. Because that's number one. That's number one. That's the most important thing. Those four things are good. They are tremendously great. That is why we have to continue. Ask for those four gifts. Ask for them. go before God. I want, but ask in a way that, Lord, don't give them to me if I don't have the love for that. Because it's got to have the love. Or I don't want it because I'll just blow it. We want God's love in us. Because with God's love, we can impact this world for Christ. No matter where we are, we can impact. That kind of love will impact people. It's His love that is going to impact them. And think about this. A person who has all faith, they could remove mountains, the Scripture says. Those mountains are your trials, your tribulations, your problems. With faith, you can have that. But again, without love, meaningless. Meaningless. And I think that's one thing that we need to understand. These gifts, all spiritual gifts, combined all the spiritual gifts together, if there's no love, it's nothing. And combining all those together, it doesn't even compare to the height of love. That's why that should be our main focus, is loving. Loving. Now, he does say in verse 3, if I give away all that I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have love, not love, I gain nothing. Are you getting it as well as I'm getting it? That if you don't have love, forget all the other stuff. That's the focus. It's pretty clear here. Giving, now he talks about if I give everything, that means yourself, what you have, your possessions, whatever, and you don't have love for it, profits nothing. And we know, and you hear all the time when we get close to tax time and end of year time, oh, you need to give because why? You get a tax benefit from it. The rich give and all that, and they get it, and people get acknowledged. What's God say? Without love, nothing. Whatever you give, yourself, your time, your energy, what you have, pray that whatever it is, whether you serve, whatever, that God's name will be glorified. And you want that love. When you give out of love. You give yourself. You give yourself more than for what yourself. You do, you serve. Because without love, it doesn't mean anything. This is a person he's talking about here that gives everything away. I'm going to give all the way I got. But there's no love. The world would look at him. Here's the world again. And the Christians, world look at him and say, man, that's a really awesome guy. But without love, nothing. One thing about this, people may give you recognition, honor you, but God knows if you did it in love. God knows. Some people give out of duty, or maybe you feel superior to someone and you'll help them out or give them out. But without love, it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. It says there, I deliver my body up to be burned. What he's talking about is martyrdom. If a person does this and there's no love, that means they give up their life. They give up to the... If there's no love, you gain nothing. It's nothing. He profits nothing. He dies in vain. Understand when it talks about that, what Christ did for you. He gave up everything. Sitting on his throne, got off the throne, everybody serving him, came down here, born in a barn, didn't have a car, didn't have a house, nothing. He gave the ultimate sacrifice, himself, for all of us. When we were sinners, he died for us. When we didn't even know him, didn't even care, he died. That's what it's talking about. Without love, everything just becomes nothing. Now, excuse me one second. verses 4 through 7. I call this the great acts of love. The acts of love. But understand here, these are acts of love. Love is action. It's not just sitting on the sidelines. Love is action. Christ got up off his throne, came down, went to the cross. It's action. It's act showing, displaying, proving your love. This is the behavior of a person who loves, which is from 4 to 7. How we live amongst other people. We are to love. God is love. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. We have His Spirit in us. We're to love others. So what does loving others mean, and how is it action in effect? We're going to break this down. Love is patient. We're going to love people no matter what the circumstances. Wait a minute, really? Yeah. No matter what kind of circumstances, no matter what is going on, we're to love them. Now, I'll give you a little insight. If going through this section and next section, you feel a little convicted, like it's a little stinging, like you failed, for 3 weeks going through this and making sure I've been through it, and I'll even go through it as I go over it again and again, seeing my failures, and then but ask God, okay, Lord, I'm failing in a certain area, help me. Because here, no matter, when you look at love as patient, are we patient with our family members who don't know the Lord? Hopefully so. Do you get frustrated? Do you get mad? We love them. No matter how bad a person is to you, break into your house and steal your stuff, cuss you out, do you physical harm? Are we patient? We're to love them. Even if they've harmed us, we're to love them. Remember Christ when he was whipped 39 times, when they nailed him to the cross? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Someone may even ignore you. You love them. And you love them long. You love them patiently. Patiently. By doing this, we are loving them into the kingdom. You may not realize it then. You may not realize it 10 years from now. But you're doing it. Because God has a way of bringing another person, another person, another person, another person to Him. But we're patiently loving people into the kingdom. Put up Colossians 1:11 for me. Being strengthened with all power, power of the Holy Spirit, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. So while you're being patient, Scripture says, be joyful. Be joyful that God is using you to show your patient love towards them. That's something to be really joyful about. And God, the Holy Spirit, will give you that endurance to be patient with them. Praise God, when the light clicked on in your head and heart about God, you responded. It could have been 6, 7 years old, could have been a teenager, could have been whatever age. How many of your family were patient with you? Yeah. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is kind. The word there that is used in kind in the original Greek text means courteous, helpful, showing favor. That's the word that's in the Greek, and it's very hard to pronounce. That's what it means, courteous, helpful, showing favor, kind. So what does that all mean? Well, you don't want to revel in hurt or neglect of others. When those bad people get hurt or bad thing, well, you know, he deserved that. Really? Are you reveling in that individual's pain? Could be. So what are we to do? We're to reach out in kindness. We're to be courteous. We're to be helpful. And we're to show them favor. Favor. How many did that for us before we got saved? We show them that favor above our own. We're going to be good to them. Even though they treat us poorly, we reach out in kindness. That's love. That's love. Put up for me Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. We're to be kind, forgiving, loving, sharing, helpful, showing them favor, just as Christ did. It says, love does not envy. Envy. The word there, zeloi, it in the Greek means jealous, having feelings against someone because what they have. And yes, this includes possession. But also, friends, they have may have popularity, the position they may have at work. Jealous, envy. Or the abilities that they may have. I wanted to be a baseball player so bad. I stunk. I wanted to be good in sports. I stunk. And I wanted musical talent. Okay? So I can understand this. And I think truthfully, every one of us can say, yeah, that one stings me. Because I can be jealous because of others, what they may have, possess, their abilities. But we're to love them. We're not to begrudge someone or even downplay the success that they do have. Instead, we rejoice with them. Don't put them down. Rejoice with them. Celebrate with them. Be excited for them. Love rejoices in others, in their experiences, what they're talented at, what they're gifted at, and their abilities. Look at Proverbs 14:30. A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. That's what envy does. A heart filled with love, God's love, gives life. Envy, jealousy, rots the bones. So who is it affecting because you're envious or you're jealous? It's not affecting the other person. It's affecting you. You know, it's like I've always said, lack of forgiving somebody, lack of forgiveness, is like you drinking the poison and expecting them to die. No, it don't work that way. It's the same way with envy. Envy doesn't affect them. It rots your bones. It says we're not to envy or boast. Now we go the opposite. Boast. This means to brag or seek recognition or honor from others. Here we go again with the world and believers. The world does that all the time. The world tells what they give in their tax write-offs, donations. The world displays what they show. Not with Christians. Not with us. You're not to boast. Love seeks to honor and recognize others. Seek and honor, recognize others. Put up Romans 12:10 for me, please. Love one another with brotherly affection. outdo one another in showing honor. Do we do that? Are you doing that? We're trying to build up others, even if that means we get trampled on a little bit, stepped on. Build up others. Build up others. If it's starting to sting a little bit, it's okay, folks. When you go, man, I've really blown this, well, it's all right. Because each one of these you can look at and ask God, I need help here, I need help here, I need help here. By asking God for that, He's going to change you. He's going to change you. You're not boast. It is not arrogant. This is prideful. This is pride. And you know, we hear it all the time on the news. You got to be proud of this and show your pride here and there. What's the world say? That? What's God say? We should never think that we're better than others. Never. Love is modest and humble and recognize honor of others, not ourselves. Again, we see it. Let somebody else be honored, recognized. Even if it costs you, it's okay. That's love. He says also in the scriptures here that love is not rude. Don't act disgraceful to others. We're to treat others with absolute respect. We're to honor and respect them for who they are. No matter where they are in life, we're to honor and respect them and love them. We're not to be rude. Put up for me Philippians 1. So that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. These are all things, folks, we're going to meet Christ. We're going to meet Him. I want to say thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in my life and changing me. And Lord, I want so much more radical change. I want that spiritual gift of love. And I think that's what's so important here. And it's sad that a lot of people focus in on all the other gifts. This is it. Period. This is the only one that matters. Yes, they all have strengths and importance. But compared to this gift, no. And look how he says also here, it's not insisting on its own way. In other words, it doesn't insist that you have your own rights to get your opinion or what you think or whatever. No. It's not insisting on your own way. It's not selfish. It's other-centered. We're not to focus upon who we are or what we've done. We are to acknowledge and serve others. And we're to give to others. We're to acknowledge and serve others. Give to others. Put up Philippians 2:4 for me, please. Let each of you look not only at his own interests, but also to the interests of the others. As we look at that verse, I put that up there for a specific reason. A lot of us just read the first half. Each of us look at not only your own interest. Okay, I can look at my own interest. Yeah, I can do that. That's good. You know, what's good for me? What's best for me? But what's it say after that? But also the interest of others. That's the main focus, the interest of others. It may cost you something. Recognition, money, whatever, inconvenience. It's the interest of others. This is love. Christ didn't need to come down to the earth. Christ didn't need to save man. God didn't need it. But He did it, why? For the interest of us. He served us. He reached down for us. He did everything for the glory of us. Because when we go into heaven, we are in God's glory. What a blessing. What an absolute blessing there. Love is also not irritable or resentful. Irritable or resentful. It means we're not easily angered or we take offense. Not quick-tempered. Not quick-tempered. Do we get that way? Yeah, does that one bite? Yeah, it can. And I think this is really talking about being easily angered. There are a lot of people, we know people that are, boy, they can fly off. It's like pulling a pin on a grenade and tossing it. Boom. You know, they're gonna go off. While love can control our emotions, which it can, the more God's love comes in, the more our emotions can be in control. Now, what I'm talking about here is, and that God's love coming into us, protecting our emotions and changing our emotions, people can say, well, I'm Italian, so that's why I have a quick temper. That doesn't mean anything. Or I'm from this area of the country, so, hey, we're tough. We, you know, you say, hey, we're going to knock you down. We understand that, right? No, we're Christians. I don't care where you're from, what nationality you are, who you are. We're to love. Don't use the excuse, well, that's who I am. No, that's who you like being too. No, I want to be like Christ. I want to, Christian means Christ-like. When you claim, I want to be a Christian, and then you go off on this, really? This is where I go back again. It all folds back into asking God that love coming into your heart over and over. Lord, change. I need to change. And more importantly, Lord, I want to change this. I don't want to be like that. I don't care what everybody says. I want to be like you. How many people abuse Christ? How many people cussed at him? Thinking on this, we're never to become angry without a just cause. Look at Romans 12:18 for me, please. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. With all. That doesn't say, well, except for those that this, that, no. God says, reach out. We're to live peacefully amongst all. Love. Now we haven't quite finished yet, but every single one of these things I had to ask God, you got to change me, because I could see my areas are failing, absolute failing. Which all it did was bring me to tears. And thankfulness. God came and saved me. Love does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Wrongdoing. So what are they talking about? It means we're not going to be resentful. Love does not hold on to the wrong done to us. Somebody does you wrong. Anybody ever done wrong to you? Do we hold on to it? No, we want to suffer through and forget it. Move on. Love. We're not to just harbor on that wrongdoing when somebody did that. It says, do not rejoice at wrongdoing, or something happens bad to them that did wrong to you. We're not to rejoice at that. We're to love them. But we are to rejoice with the truth. We're to rejoice with the truth. We know the truth, and the truth prevails. When truth is rooted and ground in a person, we can rejoice in that, no matter what circumstance or situation you're going through. When that truth grabs hold of you, holds, it's grounded in your heart, it's grounded in, you can rejoice. Love never will cover up or hide the truth. Never cover it up or hide it. Proclaim the truth. Proclaim the truth in the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of all. We're to do this. We rejoice in the truth. Jesus said, He is the way, the truth, and the life. We can rejoice over that. Now, I'm going to pull up two Old Testament, but this was not only talking about Christ, but this is very much on the truth. Put up Zechariah 8:16 for me, please. These are things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. We are to speak the truth no matter what. It is Christ, and no matter what, we're to speak that truth. Put up Malachi 2:6. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. He's talking about Christ. He's walking with you. When he is walking with you, which is all the time, believer, you can speak the truth. He's right there with you. What's it say? He's going to turn away from the iniquity. He's right there. His righteousness is right with you. The last verse that we look at here, it says, love bears all things. The word there, it says bears, which in the Greek word is stegai, means to cover all things and bear up under all things. So we're going to cover all things and we're going to bear up under whatever we're going through. We stand under the weight of all things and we cover up the faults of others. We don't point out people's faults. We cover them up. We love them. Don't say, well, you know, that person, go right down the line. We don't want to point out faults. Let's cover their faults. Let's love them into the kingdom. Let's love them into a closer relationship with Christ. Don't ever point out the faults of others, because we can do that really good. Oh, we can all do that really good. That's a nice person, but you know what he does? Yeah, that one really bites, don't it? Because we're all guilty of that. Oh, we are so guilty of that. And here's another one, folks, that I sat down, God had to show me. We should never have any pleasure in exposing people's wrongs or their weaknesses. You were wrong. There's no pleasure there. We're going to speak the truth. Or when people do all these wrong things, and we know if you see anything in political, you can see that. We're not to rejoice. We're not to hide and let that, you know, rejoice in their wrongdoings. Nope. We're to love. We're to bear up under neglect. Been neglected lately? We're to bear up against abuse. What about ridicule? Yeah. Put it for me, Ephesians 4, verses 2 through 3. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. All humility, gentleness, patience. This is patiently loving and patiently doing this. Gentleness. We're not to rip and tear. Very gentle. Bearing with one another, each of us together, in love. This is the book of love. Maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, because we want peaceful situation. Says love believes all things. What he's talking about here is that we're always to be eager to believe the absolute best. Completely trusting. We're to, oh, it's going to work out good. We're believing in God. We may not always know how it's going to work. Just ask Joseph when his brothers threw him in the pit. Then he got sold to the Egyptians and they put him in jail. We were planning, trusting in the best, how he ended up saving so many lives because of the instruction of God. We want to be ready to believe the best. You hear news, say, don't say good news and say, well, that's good, but what about this, this, and this? No, believe the best. Believe all things. People go through tough times. And we need to understand and accept that with forgiveness and belief, the very best will come out of this. No matter what happens, the very best. Look at all the tragic things that happen with earthquakes, fires, floods, all this. God, we believe God's going to do what, the best out of it. Believe that. And then it says, love hopes all things. We can never stop hoping. Don't stop losing hope for family, relatives, for co-workers, that they may someday accept Christ. They may start to walk. Don't lose hope. There's always hope. We cannot stop our hope. We expect victory. We expect it. Lord, I expect victory. We hope in Christ. He is the good. We hope in Christ. No matter how bad it is or gets, we have hope. That's what God gives us. Hope. No matter how bad things turn, no matter how tough things are going through, we have hope. The hope is in Christ. We need to understand, no matter how long you've been a believer, Christ won the war. The war's over. We may lose some battles. We may lose a lot of battles. But the war is done. Christ won it. We have absolute, utter victory in Jesus Christ. Put up for me Romans 8:24, please. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hoped for what he sees? And go to Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Folks, this was written years ago. Why? Was written for our instruction. This is your instruction book. This is it. I encourage you, read it, study it, know it. It was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. We have hope because it says, if you go all the way to the end of this book and go into Revelation, folks, there's a lot coming for us. Blessings beyond anything you can imagine. We're going to be with Christ forever. In eternity. There is no sin. Love. God is love. That will be us. It's amazing. Love endures all things. The last section we're looking at. Love endures all things. We can stand against those attacks of the enemies. We can. Because we love. Because Christ loved us. We can endure. We can stand up to that. Love does conquer and triumph always. Love conquered and triumphed death, which is the number one thing that the world sees as the most worst thing that can happen, is death. But Christ conquered death. And with Christ, we have eternal life. Death has no reign on us. It doesn't. I wanted to put up here 1 Corinthians 15:58, which is at the end of this book we'll get to. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. What we've looked at is love. This is a description of mothers. What love is mothers. We can see this in mothers. They love. No matter what. As I was preparing for this, and I started a month ago, I looked at it and I says, I wonder what Sunday that's going to be. And I look down and go, Mother's Day. Perfect, Lord. Perfect. Because it's with mothers. I gave a lot of troubles to my parents when I was in my high school years. And I can remember later on in life, as I was one day when my kids were little, and I was complaining to my mom and dad, saying, my son, his room's a mess. He's a pig. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And my mom and dad are laughing. Like, this ain't funny. Yeah, it is. Because that was you. And I went, oh, no. Now my son's a clean freak. But my mother was reminding me of that. And she thanked. That she told me was when she talked to her mother when I was going through high school years, her mother told her, just love them. Just love them. Yeah, that's what mothers. What love is, we've seen part of it here. We're going to see the other part next week, but it's mothers. Happy Mother's Day, folks. And we're going to continue to look at this love next week. Let's close in prayer. Father God, I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for this time, Lord. And Lord, as we sat back and we studied your word, Lord, there were so many areas, Lord, that I saw I failed at. Well, Lord, I'm praying for every person in here right now, Lord, that you would open our hearts and start picking some stuff out of there, Lord, that don't belong. And Lord, fill it with your love. I want every person in here who's listening that we would be, your scripture says there are vessels for honor and there are vessels for utility, different types of vessels. I want every person in here and listening to this to be vessels of honor that you overflow with your love, Lord. I ask for that, Lord. We come before you as a body. Saying, we want to change. We want to be more like you, Jesus. Help us. Help us, Lord, to change. Pour your love into us, Lord. I praise you and I thank you for this time. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Worship team will come forward, please.